Welcome to the JK Sports Podcast. I'm Juan.
And I'm Kyle.
And how is everybody doing today? Like, you could answer us back right now.
Yeah, we don't care.
We don't.
We do a podcast so we don't have to listen to how people are doing. We don't want opinions.
Right. We just want you to sit down and listen to what we're saying.
And enjoy.
That is... Enjoy.
Enjoy. Cheers.
Right there. Cheers to that.
Right on. Man, this is a classy episode, I must say.
Yeah, this is our... that was our bell, by the way, of us saying, let's go.
Right.
Because, Kyle, we're gonna start off really strong today with our podcast. We're going straight into the NFL playoffs.
Let's do it.
Hard hitting. So... NFL, this week, we had a lot of good games yesterday. Did you watch any football yesterday?
I did. I got to watch a little football yesterday.
Yesterday meaning Sunday, because we never know when we record.
Right. That's true. On Sunday. And we're watching a little football right now, too.
A little football right now. It's a color rush. Seahawks versus the Minnesota Vikings at Seattle. The 12th man. Not Texas A&M. 12th man.
No, you know, in the color rush thing, whatever. It is what it is. But I got to say, I think the Seahawks might have the best one. The lime green.
No, that is the worst one.
If you're going to do it, I mean, make it count.
That is the worst colors.
They look like a highlighter.
Yeah, and that nobody's thought a highlighter has looked good. Or like a lime.
I bet there's a lot of receptionists out there who take offense to that, who love highlighters.
I mean, there's a lot of nerds, too, that like highlighters. Why would you stereotype just receptionists?
Why are you saying receptionists are nerds?
No, you're putting two things together. I'm saying nerds love highlighters. Receptionists like to be organized.
Right. Highlighters help you stay organized. What is it about highlighters that nerds like?
They like to take really good notes and make
to
sure...
To sniff them?
No, they don't want to sniff their highlighters.
Do you sniff highlighters? No, you sniff, was it magic markers?
Yeah, magic markers.
I think you huff glue.
What is huff? Can you describe to the audience what huffing glue is?
I don't know. It's the point where you are really struggling to get a high and you got to start huffing things like Elmer's glue sticks.
Yeah, like it's just a big sniff, basically. A huff is a big sniff.
Or don't you, like, put it in a bag and try to...
What?
Yeah. You like a paper bag.
I think you go down the street and then you also find a man who's, like, with a hoodie and you pay him undisclosed amount of monies and you have a really secret code.
Right.
And then you have an exchange of goods. I think that's also huff. Or crack cocaine. I don't know.
Anyone works. So I'm not even sure how we got down this topic.
You led us about nerd. Oh my God, about nerds and receptionist and liking yellow highlighters.
And your oh my God was in response to one of Seattle's fans that was dressed as a Yeti, or
a yellow Yeti though.
A highlighter Yeti.
A lime Yeti.
Right.
Also, let's talk about the NFL though. Slide rule.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a fan of the slide rule? Or are you one of those that thinks, you know what, you're out of the pocket, you are running, you've passed the line of scrimmage, you should be a runner, and defense players should not have to hold up to protect you?
Well, anybody can slide. I mean, everybody can slide, and you're down immediately where you start to slide, so I don't think there's a problem for it. I mean,
everybody can do it, but only quarterbacks do it.
Yeah, because they're babies.
So you're not a fan. Do you lose respect for a quarterback when they slide?
No. Absolutely not.
No.
No, they're still babies. But no, I would say, you're telling me it's not smarter to slide than take a hit from any of these NFL linebackers?
Then why wouldn't wide receivers do it all the time or any other play?
Because it's different. The momentum from the play is completely different when you're catching the ball. Receivers go down. They'll drop on the ground a lot if they're in the middle of the field running like a slant or a cross pattern or something. But quarterbacks are starting you know, 5 yards behind the line, and more than likely, if they're sliding, they've got about a 10-yard running head start, and it's one-on-one with the defender, so they're going to slide, whereas receivers are in the middle of a play catching the ball. They typically have somebody tackling them from the side or from behind, so it's a completely different play. And they're trying to gain extra yards. They're trying to break that tackle because it's not, they don't typically have somebody running right at them straight ahead.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's pretty analytical here.
That is pretty analytical.
How did we get on that? That was a random question.
Oh, sliding. I don't know how I feel about quarterbacks sliding all the time.
I'm okay with it. You don't like it? Not a fan?
What about dollar bills on your socks? How do you feel about that?
Big fan. Big fan. Why do you ask?
I think I've realized why you like the color Rush green so much, because perhaps maybe you're wearing dollar bills on your socks.
Make that money, man. You know?
Yeah. All right. I'm going to steer us back to an actual topic here of NFL. So... we're going to start with the AFC, Kyle. AFC, right now, playoff picture. If the playoffs started right now, the AFC first round bye would be two teams. The Kansas City Chiefs, who have clinched a playoff division, a playoff spot. And the second seed would be the New England Patriots. Going forward, it would be the wild card round, would be the third seed, Houston Texans, which, shocker, I did not go into the year. I did not think that. Versus the sixth seed Ravens. And then you have the fourth seed Steelers versus the fifth seed Chargers. So let's talk about the AFC wildcard game if it's starting right now. You have Steelers, Chargers, Texans, Ravens. First glance, I'm liking Steelers-Chargers quite a bit, and I like the Chargers to win that game, especially since yesterday Big Ben played. They lost to the Raiders, by the way, the Steelers did, and he got hurt, had to leave in a walking boot.
Yeah, the Steelers are reeling, man. They have not looked good the past two or three weeks. They do not look like a playoff team. It would not be shocking if Baltimore jumps them and wins the division. Pittsburgh could still potentially slide into the playoffs, but I'm not concerned with Miami taking over the Steelers, but I'll tell you who I would watch out for is the Colts. They have been hot. Andrew Luck's healthy. He's playing well. Be careful of the Colts. They are very likely to sneak into the playoffs.
I think the Colts still have quite a bit to go to get into the playoffs because of the... They don't. They are the next one out, 7-6. But they are also tied with the Tennessee Titans. So the AFC South, you had the mighty Jaguars, who are not going to make the playoffs at all. And right now, you do have the Texans who are on there. But that's actually not a bad division. Texans, Colts, and Titans. The Titans have actually beaten the Patriots already this year. The Texans have not played the Patriots, so we can't say that from there. But the Titans, not a bad team.
No, and speaking of the Patriots, how about the end of that game? That final play, watching the two laterals, Gronk just trip over himself, vomit all over himself, trying to make the tackle. That was a bizarre play.
Yeah, but Gronk is so big. I mean... He was in there for a Hail Mary pass. That's all he was in there for.
All you got to do is slow the guy down.
Easier said than done.
You don't have to tackle him. You just got to cut off the angle and get him to cut back inside. I mean, that play, that was wild. I've watched it like five or six times, and I can't make sense of it. I still don't. You watch it, and you just... Kenyon Drake, the fact that he scored starting where he was, it doesn't make sense to me. And obviously the listeners can't see it, so I don't need to go through it. But what a bizarre ending that was.
Do you think that the Do you think that the Patriots were dumb to have Gronkowski in for that?
No, play? No, because if they throw a Hail Mary, you put a 6'6 guy back there and just knock down the ball. He's got 5 seconds to get underneath the ball from where they're throwing from. So, no, I think that's a smart play. The fact of the matter is, Kenyon Drake should have never even gotten a Gronk in the first place. But at the same time, Gronk literally just tripped over his own feet. He had the angle on Drake. He just fell all over himself.
Yeah, I'm not going to make fun of Gronk, because if I was put in that position, all I think about is how bad I would trip over myself and not even put a hand up. Like, my best chance, even if I ran full speed diagonally toward Kenyon Drake and tried to hit him, I feel that he would just push me over and completely destroy me.
But at least then you're slowing him down a little bit. You don't have to make the tackle. Just fall, if you're going to fall down in front of him.
No, I am not slowing down an NFL athlete, all right? He is running me over without slowing down.
You're right. It's not even slowing him down. Kenyon Drake would run through us like he's running through a piece of paper. I mean, it wouldn't even... Yeah.
Absolutely. So that was a good game, though. But right now, I mean, I agree. I think the playoff picture, do you think it stands the way it is right now?
No.
Chiefs, Patriots, so out of the wild card, let's agree that the Chiefs and Patriots are going to be in the playoffs.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. The next ones to be in the playoffs got to be the Chargers, right? They're going to make the wild card. I mean, they're 10-3.
Chargers look good. Chargers are in.
Their only other team that's not good, I mean, they're just in a really good division with the Chiefs right now, right?
Chargers are in.
So the Chargers are going to be in. Then it's three spots left. You have two from the AFC North, which are the Steelers and Ravens and Texans. So out of the Steelers, Ravens, Texans, who's the team most likely that you think in the AFC might not make it at the end with three games left, I believe?
Three games left. You've got Pittsburgh at 7-5-1, Baltimore, Indy, Tennessee, and Miami all at 7-6. So I think Pittsburgh's going to find a way to win. As bad as they've been playing recently, I just feel like there's too much talent on that team to not make it in. Now, with that being said, the loss of James Conner clearly has hurt them.
Yep.
And I think he's still going to be out one more week, if I'm not mistaken. But that tie that they have obviously is helping them. So I feel like either Houston or Baltimore aren't going to make it. Houston, I do like them a lot, but we discussed this last week. Their wins, that 8-game win streak they went on, or 9-game, whatever, however long it was, hasn't been against great teams. So they play Indy last week. They lose. The Colts are legit. I think they're a legitimate team. It's going to be hard to beat Andrew Luck. I think they get in. And the Ravens, Ravens are playing good too. I wouldn't be shocked if Indy takes over Houston at the end of the year, wins the division, and gets in over them.
So you like the Steelers and Ravens to get in. Houston comes out and the Colts.
You know what? I'm sorry. I take that back, because I'm looking at the Texans' schedule right now. It's the Jets, the Eagles, and the Jaguars. Yikes. That's pretty easy.
Yeah, I mean, they might lose to the Eagles if the Eagles are motivated by anything.
Well, they can still get in. The Eagles are in the number 7 spot right now in the NFC.
Oof.
I don't know, man. It's tough. It's going to be close. Indy's on the outside looking in. I have more faith in them right now. The Steelers play the Patriots, the Saints, and the Bengals. They by far have the most difficult schedule.
Yeah, they could go in 0-3 in
this game. Realistically, yeah. All right, I'm changing my mind. Steelers out. Baltimore wins the division. They're in. Houston and Indy get in.
Okay. I don't mind that. I think that's pretty good. So let's switch our attention to the NFC playoff picture. Right now, top two teams that would get a bye, both at 11-2, would be the Saints and the Rams. I think we both agree they're going to be in there.
Oh, they're in. They're already in.
NFC wild card right now. So you have two teams from the NFC North, which are the Vikings and the Bears. Oh my. And then you have the Seahawks and the Cowboys. So if the wild card started right now in the playoffs, you'd have Vikings, Bears, and Seahawks, Cowboys. I love all those matchups right there. I think that'd be very, very exciting. Who's out?
Well, I think even tonight, I say tonight, this is Monday, the Vikings are playing the Seahawks right now. Even if the Vikings lose this game, they are still in the sixth spot for the playoffs. I don't see a scenario where the Vikings and Seahawks don't make it in the wild card. Chicago's got their division wrapped up. Dallas, I don't think they have the division wrapped up, but I don't see them losing two of the next three in Philly and or Washington, winning, you know, three in a row to overtake them. I just, you know, so the NFC isn't as exciting to me. I personally think it's all wrapped up already.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think that the six teams in the projected right now in the playoffs are going to be the six teams in there. The teams who are just out right now of the playoffs all have losing records, and I just can't see the Panthers or the Eagles or any of those teams coming in there, even the Bucks, who are part of that crew, coming in and winning anything else in the division. But
Philly's the only team that if they made it into the playoffs and overtook the Vikings, that I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah, but the Vikings would have to play pretty bad. I think the Vikings are actually a really good team. They've just had a pretty tough schedule and went through a little bit of a downstretch. When they played the Patriots, they played the Patriots really well at New England. Didn't win the game, but it was a close game. So I don't know if that speaks more about how good the Vikings are or how not that great the Patriots are, which you could argue. I mean, the Patriots, not to talk back to the AFC, but Patriots losses are to Ryan Tannehill, a quarterback, Marcus Mariota, Blake Bortles, and Matt Stafford. That's the powerhouse. You know, I was talking with somebody this weekend, and I thought that the Patriots, if I could do a reference to college football, they are the Ohio State of the pros, right? They're good. They're always good. You know that they're a good team, and they deserve to win. They don't deserve to win. They deserve to be in the playoffs and compete for championship. However, they're always going to have a game that's going to be pretty crappy, and they lose to somebody they're not supposed to. And you're like, what just happened? Yeah. But when it comes to big games, you're going to bet on them, and you know they're going to be psyched up. That's Ohio State.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think that comes back to coaching. When you've got the top coaches, you know, competing week in, week out, when it really matters, I think that's what separates them. So I don't think the Patriots play for the regular season. They want to win the division. I've said this before. They want to make it in the playoffs, ideally get a bye, certainly. And that's where they thrive.
So, Kyle, I like one team from each division that you like to upset or make some noise that isn't one of the first-round byes, right? So we have in the NFC, we'll start there with the Saints and Rams. Those are the two powerhouse teams right now we have. In the wild card, if it started right now, which we think is going to end up the same, you have Cowboys, Seahawks, Vikings, and Bears. Give me the one team out of those four, Vikings, Bears, Seahawks, and Cowboys, that you like to go all the way to the Super Bowl.
Well, let's preface
your, this. Your long shot, who you're going to.
Okay. The Bears, their defense is insanely good.
Most likely.
We just watched them make the Rams look dumb. The Rams have a pretty high-powered offense, and the Bears just completely shut them down. I do think the weather had something to do with it. Regardless, the Bears, while offensively aren't going to light the world on fire, anytime you're playing in the playoffs, you're playing in December and January, A good defense is going to keep you in the game. You can make long runs with really, really good defenses.
Yeah, I like the Bears as well, but I'm going to go opposite. And either team I'm going to look at is either the Seahawks or Cowboys. The Seahawks will tell me a lot when they play tonight against the Vikings and how they do in this game. I do like the – I would give the slight edge to the Cowboys right now just because their defense is actually like top three in the NFL right now. It's been playing phenomenal. Their offense really hasn't been doing much, but they kind of do just enough, and it's really been showing how good of a defense that has. So going forward in the playoffs, if they go play a team like the Saints or the Rams, they've already shown the blueprint that they can beat the Saints and what's going on. The Saints, on a side note, there has to be something wrong with Drew Brees is what I'm thinking, because he's the most accurate passer of all time, but they're just not clicking like they were in the beginning of the season, and I'm not sure what it is. What the difference is in that.
I'm not worried about the Saints.
You should be.
I'm not. Their point differential is 164.
Yeah, that's from the first, like, seven games.
No one else is even close. No way. The Chiefs and the Rams were smoking people at the beginning of the year. I'm not worried about the Saints. They won this weekend. They're good to go.
No. I'm going to go with the Cowboys right now, depending on how the Seattle-Minnesota game goes. If Seattle kind of goes on a tear and really puts their foot down on Minnesota, I might like them because they have Russell Wilson. He's a good quarterback, and I would trust him a lot more than I would trust Dak. So right now, I like the Cowboys to get out of the wild card and make some noise and potentially, you know, give me some good odds. I'll take them to go to the Super Bowl. AFC, turn our attention. You got first round bye right now is the Chiefs and the Patriots. Out of the four teams remaining, Baltimore, Houston, Chargers, and Steelers, I'm going to go ahead and say Chargers. I like the Chargers to make some noise. Who do you like?
I couldn't agree more. Chargers are hot. They play well at the end of the year. Phillip Rivers has yet to make a deep run in the playoffs. I think this is the year he does. I really like what the Chargers do. They're fun to watch. I hope they make a run. I really like the Chargers.
Yeah, it would be a lot of fun to see Phillip Rivers do well. I do remember early 2000s when who was their head coach? Norm? No.
Schottenheimer?
Schottenheimer, yeah. When Schottenheimer, they went like 12-3. Can they go 12-3? No.
Yeah. Sure they can.
Yeah, 12-3.
Well, they go 13-3.
13-3. Well, maybe there's like a tie or a rain game that was delayed. Hurricane.
Hurricane?
Yeah.
In San Diego?
Earthquake.
Yeah, that's true. Fires. Earthquake game.
Fires.
Lots of fires in California nowadays.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But I like the Chargers. I like them back in the day. I think that Phillip Rivers is the perfect quarterback to go into either Kansas City or New England, not be afraid, and lead his team to a victory.
I don't trust any of the teams in the AFC. They, at least the ones at the top, they're all kind of sketchy.
Flawed?
Yeah. I don't trust Kansas City whatsoever. I feel like they started off hot. If any team's quote unquote faltering, you know, that's getting a bye, they're the ones I trust least. I could see them losing before any of the other teams that would get a bye. New England, we've already talked about, they're certainly flawed. The AFC South, we don't even. Houston, okay. I mean, do you trust them? AFC North, we don't even know who's getting in. I don't know, man. It's toss-up. It's a wild card, some may say.
Well, that's why they play the game.
That's why they call it the wild card round?
That's why they call it wild card round. So we'll check back again. We got three more weeks for the NFL playoffs and see who we think is still going to be there. You still have the Saints over the Patriots in the Super Bowl, right? That was your...
My original pick was Saints over the Steelers.
Saints over the Steelers. So both of your teams are there. for it. I had Cowboys over the Patriots, which they're still technically in. I don't really see that. I feel like I should get some really good odds. If that happens, you probably owe me like 3 lunches.
The Patriots aren't a long shot, obviously, but if Dallas gets in, that would be an impressive pick.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like it's kind of going to be like my Michigan pick that I had. That Michigan controlled their own destiny and then they just blew it.
Yeah, except they didn't make it.
Yeah, they didn't make it. But we'll talk about that pretty soon in our college football recap, I guess.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, college football slam. But for now, send us what you guys think of the AFC-NFC playoff picture and see if you agree with us or disagree. If you disagree, I don't care, but just tell us how you agree. All right, Kyle. So now we're going to talk about a little bit of college football and specifically the Heisman. Did you watch the Heisman this weekend?
I did not.
Oh, then why are we even talking about it?
I don't know. It's the Heisman ceremony thing. It's a lot of fluff. Like, it really, I feel like, should be a 5-minute show. And they make it an hour.
They do.
You know, it's just... Maybe not. Give me 15 minutes. I don't know. Do you really need that entire time?
I mean, the TV time. I guess if I was going to be a Heisman finalist, sure, I'd want them to interview me the whole time and talk about my whole family and everything that I've been through. Actually, no, I wouldn't. I would just not even want to show up.
Yeah, no, I don't care enough. I mean, I feel like I know enough about them to... what are they trying to do? Sway somebody's opinion at that point? Votes are in, man. Count the ballots. Let's go.
Yeah, the votes are in. So this weekend we had the Heisman Trophy ceremony. The winner, to many of a shock, which was not the person that you thought was going to be, was Kyler Murray from Oklahoma. The Oklahoma Sooners was the Heisman Trophy winner. Back-to-back winners for Oklahoma as Heisman Trophy winners. They have now 7 Heisman Trophy winners for the university, which is tied with Notre Dame and Ohio State as the most Heisman Trophy winners from a school. They have 4 quarterbacks that are Heisman Trophy winners from Oklahoma. Now, Kyle, can you name all 4
quarterbacks?
Yep.
Baker, Jason White, Kyler, obviously, and wasn't there some dude from like the 50s or 60s? Billy Sims or not Billy Sims?
No.
It's obviously not Billy Sims.
Billy Sims is a running back who won it in 1978.
Yeah.
But you're missing somebody in the 2000s.
Oh, Sam Bradford. Sam Bradford.
Yep. So Oklahoma's had 4 quarterbacks. They have surpassed Florida in quarterbacks and for the Heisman. They have 4 with Jason White, Sam Bradford, Baker Mayfield, and Kyler Murray. Combine those 4 quarterbacks, how many national championships do they have?
0.
Correct.
0. Or no, Jason White, did he win one? Yeah, he won with Stoops, right? Or did he get smoked by USC?
He got smoked by USC.
Yeah. Who was the quarterback when they won?
When old Stoops won?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a good question. Well,
I'll do a little research.
Yeah, why don't you do a research? Our stat guy, if he was here, he'd definitely do a little research, but he's taking the day off.
Yeah, I'll see what I can find.
I know that Oklahoma team, though, lost 2 games. They lost to Texas A&M 26-30 in 2002, and they lost to Oklahoma State 28-38. yet they went to the national championship game. And can you tell me who they played in the national championship cup?
2002 wouldn't have been Miami. It would have been Ohio State?
No, Washington State.
What?
Yeah, that's who they beat in the national championship, or that's who they played, and then they were crowned the, they played Washington State in the Rose Bowl.
Oh. God, isn't it so much better now with playoffs? Yeah. No. Wait a second. Is that right? Is that accurate? Are you sure? Doesn't sound right.
They did not win the national championship that year, though, because they lost two games.
Yeah, I feel like you're just making up things now.
No, but they were number five in the nation. They went 12-2. Kevin Wilson was the offensive coordinator. Brent Venables was the defensive coordinator. And they went to the Rose Bowl. Now, why would a Big 12 team go to the Rose Bowl? I don't know. It's usually it's Pac-12 and Big 10. But that is what happened. Regardless, Oklahoma, pretty good, right? Lincoln Riley, he's been a head coach now for 2 years, and he has two Heisman Trophy winners. Do you think that's... are you a fan of Lincoln Riley?
I mean, I guess, yeah.
Do you think that has anything to do with his coaching abilities, that he has
Oklahoma beat Florida State in the 2000 National Championship. Just to clarify.
Oh, who was their quarterback?
I don't know. I do remember that game, though. Sorry, keep going.
Yeah. So it was in 2002 that they lost. In 2002, I'm going to... Jason White was a junior. So unless he won when he was a freshman, then I'm not.
Yeah, he was a freshman. Josh Heupel was the starting quarterback.
Oh, Josh Heupel won a national championship at Oklahoma?
Yeah.
The UCF Golden Knight head coach?
Yeah.
Oh, man. That explains everything.
Yeah. Now it all makes sense, right?
Yeah, he's definitely going to leave UCF in next year.
Well, Lincoln Riley's going to take the Browns job. Heupel's going to take the Oklahoma job.
I don't think he'd get promoted that quickly for Oklahoma. But you, stranger things have happened. Speaking of UCF, though, what did you think about UF athletic director, Scott Strickland, saying that UF welcomes a match against UCF if it was a 2-for-1 deal, meaning that they would play two games at Florida, UCF would, and Florida in turn would travel 1 year to UCF and play their away game.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's great. I would love to do more of the in-state rivalries. UF and FSU are going to play every year, which is great. It's, you know, that's a wonderful rivalry. They need to keep going. But I think every year we need to add one more in-state rival, whether it's Miami, USF, UCF. And I would like to see more schools do that too, not just Florida. But, these states where there's a couple, the larger schools, Texas would be a great example of, doing that with SEC and Big 12 schools. And I think that'd be great, man. I think it helps with recruiting in state. It helps keep these recruits in state. The rivalries would be great. The fans are so close together. That's awesome. But UF has when you have schools like that, you're going to have more control. So yeah, the 2-for-1s. I mean, if UCF really wants to start playing and competing, that's what you're going to have to do. Playing an SEC schedule, you're playing a much tougher schedule every year. So yeah, you've got a little more leverage. And if UCF doesn't want to take it, I know a team just down I-4 who will. So
USF?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they actually did take it in the 2021, 2022, and 2023. There was 3-year span where they'll play each other home and home, and then UF will get another home game.
Right.
So it was interesting because Danny White was asked about that, and he basically said that a top 10 team should not be having to do a 2-for-1. It should only be doing a home for home. So he is alluding to the fact that they, UCF, is a top 10 team,
mm-hmm.
and therefore they get all the status and the credibility of a top 10 team would. I'm not buying that.
No, you've got to have a little longevity there. Two decent seasons in a row doesn't give you the right to be on the same stage as other Power 5 schools. Sorry.
And do we agree or disagree? How do we feel about Danny White, obviously the brother of Mike White at Florida,
mm-hmm.
Head coach for basketball? How do you feel he's handled his role or duty as the UCF athletic director, just constantly bringing up all this UCF hive?
Yeah, I don't know. I've got mixed emotions on it. I get what he's trying to do, right? He's trying to pump up the fact. I mean, it's like this rah-rah, we're great, look at us. Always, you know, saying great things about UCF, we're a top 10 program, blah, blah, blah. You say things enough, people start to believe it. So he's a hype man. That's what he's doing. He'd be a great hype man. He is the guy you want going into the boxing ring with you as you get everybody fired up.
Yeah.
But at the same time, listen, Danny, the other top 10 programs in the country don't have to do this. They don't have to hype it up. They let their program speak for themselves. They don't have to go out there and tell everybody how awesome they are. They just are awesome. So stop talking about how awesome you are. Just be awesome. Same thing with UCF fans. Stop acting like you're so great. Just be great. You're not. If you were that great, you'd be in the playoffs right now. Everybody would recognize it. You're not. So stop. Just shut up.
Yeah. I mean, here's a couple stats for you, right? You ready? Since it joined the FBS, UCF has won 56% of its games, had 13 winning seasons out of 23, ended the season ranked in the AP poll 3 times, and has played in 10 bowl games, 3 of them being the major ones. That's pretty respectable for a young program like UCF out of 23 seasons. In that same time frame, Florida has won 72% of its games, had 21 winning seasons as opposed to 13, and ended the season ranked in the AP poll 17 times, and has played in 9, so 3 times more, BCS New Year's Six Bowls. Oh, and they also have 3 national championships.
Yeah.
So okay. I'm okay, you know, UCF, if you're saying you're a top 10 program, I mean, you're not, right?
You're not even a top 3 program in your own state. There are 50 states, last time I checked. You're not even a top 3 program in your own state.
Yeah.
Just stop.
And here was the quote from Danny White when they said about the 2-for-1. He said, "Top 10 programs don't schedule 2-for-1 series where the balance is not in their favor. Our growing fan base and our student athletes deserve better than that." So this illustrates, which we'll retweet this out of our page, our JK Sportscast Twitter handle. Will Miles, great guy, Gator follower, Gator fan, writes really good articles and is very statistically based. Wrote this article and saying, all right, so why won't the big boys schedule UCF? So let's look at the history of UCF playing big schools. 2013, UCF played Penn State and South Carolina. Sounds like pretty big programs right there. 2014, they played Penn State in Dublin. Pretty cool.
Right.
And Missouri. 2015, they played Stanford and South Carolina. 2016, they played Michigan and Maryland. 2017, they played Maryland. And 2018, they played Pitt. That's not too bad. So from 2013 to 16, UCF was able to schedule 8 Power 5 teams, 4 of them home and home series, and in those games, they went 1-7.
Good work, UCF.
In 2013, they defeated Penn State and lost to South Carolina and earned an automatic BCS bid to play by winning the AAC conference and went to the Fiesta Bowl. I mean, pump the brakes just a bit on saying that you're a top 10 program. And the last bit of this whole UCF thing, which I don't know why we got down this path again, was I don't know if Danny White is doing them the school a favor, right? He's getting the conversation. No, any press is good press, whether it's bad publicity or good publicity that you're doing. But at some point, they're going to have to join a big conference. There's going to be realignment. There's going to be an 8-team playoff. All these ADs that you're poking at and saying, oh, they're not going to schedule us, they're too scared. Do you think they're going to speak up for UCF at all and want them to join their conference? Do you think the SEC commissioners and Scott Strickland now are going to say, oh, yeah, let's have UCF join the SEC, of course, or let's help them out? No, they're going to remember these conversations. They're going to remember you sticking your chest out and saying that I want a seat at the big boys' table when you're really at the kids' table, and they might get boycotted. I mean, is that fair? No, but is that the way America works? Yes.
Well, no, I couldn't agree more. I mean, that's the whole freedom of speech thing. You can say whatever you want, however you feel, but that doesn't mean there aren't repercussions and that, you know, people aren't going to hold it against you or, you know, I don't know. Again, I mean, UCF, yeah, okay, you're going to have more fans, people are going to start following you. That doesn't mean you're good. That doesn't mean you're a top 10 program. People do respect you for what you've done. Going undefeated in any conference is a very difficult feat. It is very impressive. Stop telling people how impressive it is and making it seem like a much bigger deal than it is. That's what top 10 programs don't do that.
I agree. Just like top 10 programs. Well, never mind. I was going to talk about Blake Bortles being released pretty soon, but Florida does not have any good quarterbacks in the NFL, so that just happens.
Well, that's okay. Still going to a New Year's Six game.
Hey-o.
In spite of it.
Despite of, so who is going to a New Year's Six game is the three Heisman Trophy or the Heisman finalists, right? So you have Ohio State, Dwayne Haskins is going to the Rose Bowl, Tua, we'll just call him Tua.
Yeah, let's just stick with Tua.
Tua's going to the semifinals against the Heisman Trophy winner, Kyler Murray, Oklahoma, there. Which kind of brings a debate here, Kyle, of you have Urban Meyer and Nick Saban both had Heisman Trophy finalists at New York this weekend. Urban Meyer has had Heisman Trophy finalists before. He's obviously had Tim Tebow as a winner. Nick Saban has had a couple finalists, with winners being Trent Richardson and Mark Ingram. Running backs, never had a quarterback as a winner. Obviously, these are two great coaches. Probably, as we talked about last week, two of the best coaches of all time in college football. But let's look about their coaching tree. Who do you think has, without doing any research, or maybe some research, who would you say has better coaching tree? Who is a better leader if you're basing leadership off of the people who've worked for him and then gone on to further success?
Well, I think it's Nick Saban and it's not even close.
Really?
Not even close. So Nick Saban's coaching tree has, first of all, so many branches, but not just at the collegiate level, but in the professional level as well. So you look at some of the college coaches, some have been more successful than others, but you know, Nick Saban worked with Mark D'Antonio.
Yeah.
Obviously done a good job at Michigan State. Jimbo Fisher, pretty strong there, right? Say what you will about Will Muschamp, but, you know, SEC head coaching job, second time around. Kirby Smart. It's a pretty successful one too, right?
Yeah.
I'd say so. And then there's a lot of other ones. We don't need to go through all of them. But then think about the NFL ones. This is what blows my mind. When you look up who is in the NFL, Josh McDaniels, pretty strong. Pat Shurmur, Mike Mularkey. And then who else am I missing? I know. Oh, Jason Garrett.
Yeah.
Jason Garrett. I mean, that's pretty amazing. So it's not just, you're talking very successful coaches at major programs collegially, but also head coaches in the NFL and, you know, major coordinators, coaches who have had NFL coaching jobs. That's pretty extensive right there.
Yeah. So when you bring in the NFL, he's definitely had an advantage there in the NFL and really good coaches there. I would give the edge in college to Urban Meyer, though, because I do believe he's had better success with training or having college coaches that worked for him. I'm going to read aloud who are the college head coaches that have had success under Urban Meyer. You have Steve Adazio, Boston College and Temple there. Luke Fickle, now at Cincinnati, Tom Herman, Doc Holliday, Dan Mullen, Greg Schiano, Charlie Strong, Mike Vrabel. So there's one NFL person there that you have. Kevin Wilson, Kyle Whittingham, and now Ryan Day. I would put up, I guess, if I'm going to do the top two or top three for Urban Meyer against Nick Saban in college. Mm-hmm. So, because I will agree.
Okay, so you do your top three. Do your top three for Urban. And I'll do my top three collegiately.
And I'm going college because I think we can agree Saban has an NFL. He did work in the NFL. Urban has had zero experience in the NFL. So my top three that I'm going to bat with for a head coach against Nick Saban is going to be Dan Mullen, Tom Herman, and I'm either thinking Schiano or Charlie Strong. Charlie Strong hasn't been that good though. But I'll go Charlie.
So I would counter that with Mark D'Antonio, who's very long tenured at Michigan State, Jimbo Fisher, who's won a national championship.
Yep.
And Kirby Smart, who's played for a national championship.
Okay.
So in all Power Five teams.
So you have one national champion in all three. I mean, these...
In all Power Five teams.
Okay, so I have two out of the three are Power Five head coaches right now. I could sub in Kyle Whittingham, who was a successful coach and is a head coach at Utah. That's a Power 5 in the Pac-12. But you are right. You have Jimbo Fisher, who has the national championship.
Jimbo's big.
Yeah, that's a big win right there.
But and don't forget about Lane Kiffin. Curveball. Coming in hot from Saban.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's your boy, man.
I know. Lane Kiffin is good, but... I still would rather roll with Tom Herman and Dan Mullen right now if I had to take one of those head coaches. If you had to take,
college, no way. Over Jimbo?
Would you pick Dan Mullen or Tom Herman over Mark D'Antonio right now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure.
So you'd probably go Jimbo, Herman, or Mullen. Then
I'd go Mullen over Herman.
But then Herman after that.
Yeah, no doubt.
Then
I'd take Kirby over D'Antonio.
True. Then Kirby. And then D'Antonio. So there'd be your top five combined coaching tree from both.
I might take Kirby over Herman, in all honesty. I might take Kirby over Mullen.
No, I don't.
Okay.
I still don't think that Kirby. Kirby's first year was really bad at Georgia. They lost to Vanderbilt. They lost a lot.
That's
okay.
That's all right.
They lost a lot.
Nick Saban's first year at Alabama was terrible.
Yeah. I don't know. I the jury is still out for me on Kirby of whether he is a good coach. He is a good coach, but as far as in game, I mean, Georgia's been overrated since Mark Richt was there. Georgia hasn't won.
They played for the national championship last year.
I don't care. And
they've
lost.
They went to
overtime. They have almost won games for a long time. They almost beat Alabama under Mark Richt. And if it wasn't for Aaron Murray throwing a pass in the last seconds and not having any timeouts left.
Yeah, but then, we're comparing against Dan Mullen, Tom Herman, and who was your other one? Greg Schiano?
No. Charlie Strong.
Oh.
But Charlie, let's get Charlie out of there.
Good call. Great coordinator.
Yeah. Yeah, he is a great coordinator. Great, great, great coordinator. So, I like those top fives. I'm gonna roll with those top fives. I'm not sure who else you would want to add in there.
What about McElwain?
I'm not sure who else you want to add in there.
Yeah, no, I think that's pretty strong right there.
Yeah, pretty strong coaches there in the coaching tree. We'll see. Too bad though that Urban is not gonna coach anymore. So he'll have no other people in his coaching tree ever again. So sad. Okay, you're natural. We're all naturals here.
We are naturals.
We're natural podcasters.
That's right.
That's what we do. Which, by the way, podcasters, if you want to be a natural and do a College Bowl Pick'em, make sure you go on, follow us on Twitter, JK Sports Podcast on Twitter, and we have a bowl pick'em.
We do. Let's do it. We've got a, we'll have a prize at the end for the winner. It's a confidence pick. Make sure you log on and do it. You can, we're limiting it to one entry per listener. But go on, we'll give you some good swag for winning.
Yeah, absolutely. Come join. It's the ESPN College Bowl Mania.
That's right.
Search for the group JK Sports Podcast and come join us.
Let's do it. I'm gonna win, but you can try.
Yeah, absolutely. But speaking of trying, we have a little bit of fun game here. So Kyle, I have some names here for college football players. Some are real, some are fake. And I want to know how you do with them. So I'm going to say their names, and you have to tell me if this is a real name or a fake name.
Okay.
Think
I
you're
feel
up
like
for
I'm
it?
Gonna be really bad at this. But
all right.
Let's do it.
Let's start off with first name. The name is Mac Loudermilk.
Loudermilk?
Loudermilk.
Loudermilk?
Yeah. Would you like me to spell the
no.
name? No. So it's Mac Loudermilk. Loudermilk.
I'm going to say that's real.
Real. It is. It is a real name. He is actually the punter for UCF.
Oh.
Knights. And he actually won one of the ESPN awards for the best holder in college football.
They give an award for best holder?
They sure do. When your
I
name
cannot
is...
think of a better award for UCF after this whole year. Hey, I know you guys didn't make the playoffs, but you've got a hell of a holder. And he's got a sweet name.
Yeah.
Loudermilk.
Yeah. So, Mac Loudermilk, real name. All right, I got another one for you here. Scooter Santana.
Oh, man. Please tell me that's real.
Real or fake?
That's got to be real.
It is fake.
Oh. It's fake.
Good try. Good try. Next name on here is Mac Hippenhammer. Mac Hippenhammer. Hip hop?
Fake. And there's no way there's two Macs on there.
Oh, but it is true. He is a wide receiver at the University of Penn State.
Hippenhammer.
Hippenhammer. There's no place to be hipper
you
than...
You hip and you hammer. You think he yells that when he's running on the field, running around?
Yeah. You hip and you hammer at Happy Valley. That's what you do.
Oh.
We'll leave it at there. Next name on here is Bryce Swackhammer. The Swackhammer. His name is Bryce. Bryce Swackhammer.
Fake.
Real. North Carolina State linebacker. That is a great linebacker name.
That is pretty strong.
The Swackhammer? The Swackmeister?
I'm bringing the Swackhammer today.
I am bringing the Swackhammer. Oh. All right, another one we have here is Bumper Pool.
No, fake.
Bumper Pool. Fake. That is a real name.
No.
He plays for the University of Arkansas, and why don't we guess his position? Bumper Pool.
Nose tackle.
Linebacker.
His first name is Bumper?
Like the game Bumper Pool.
What?
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
We got two more for you, Kyle. I know you're doing well.
Yeah.
Next one is Trill Schwartz. Trill Schwartz. Is that a real or fake name?
Real.
Fake.
God bless America.
Bumper Pool, real. Bryce Swackhammer, real. But Trill Schwartz...
Trill?
Trill.
That would be a sweet name.
That would be. What kind of position would you play as Trill?
Corner? Whatever you wanted.
I feel like you'd be a good corner.
Yeah, Trill would be a good corner.
Just
for
Trill,
sure.
Dude.
Yeah.
Trill out. All right, Trill. So I got one more name for you. This is for all the marbles.
Double or nothing.
Triple or nothing. All right.
Let's do it.
The name, Squally Canada. Let me repeat that name again. Squally Canada. Real or fake?
It has to be real because you couldn't make up that kind of name.
Squally Canada. You're going with real.
Real.
It is real. It is position. What position do you think?
Squally sounds kind of like a left tackle to me.
No. Squally is 5'11", 209 pounds.
Wow.
And plays running back for the University of Brigham Young.
So he's
also known as BYU.
He's a Mormon.
He goes to a Mormon school. You know,
they have to convert, right? You go to BYU?
Wasn't there that basketball player or football player that didn't convert and he got kicked out of school?
No, he had sex and they kicked him out.
Yeah, they kicked him out.
Yeah.
So he didn't convert.
Well, yeah, that's why he got kicked out, because he wasn't practicing the Mormon beliefs.
Yeah, so maybe I need to see how old Squally is. Is Squally so young?
Squally. I wonder if that's his legal name.
You know, has Squally even done his mission tour, right? Don't they have to do a mission?
Yeah.
They have to take like 2 years away from school or a year away from school
Oh, yeah. It's a bizarre. I shouldn't say that. Bizarre. But, yeah, 2 years, I think. They got to dedicate.
I mean, when they graduate, all their players are like 25 or 26.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what I know. You know who's not Mormon that I thought was Mormon? Phillip Rivers.
I know. We had this discussion. Just because he has a million kids doesn't mean he's Mormon.
Just because he got married at 17 and started having kids all the time and is now having another kid.
Is he at 10? Is he in double digits?
I think
yet?
He's at 9. Close. Man. I think he has enough for a football team.
Yeah.
But
crazy.
Squally Canada. Hey, if you ever want to call into the show, Please.
Squally. Give us a shout, dude. I want to hear from you.
I don't know who I'd rather have, Squally or the juice.
Oh.
Both.
Squally.
Both would be squirrely, you know? All right. So let's move to the lightning round, Kyle. I got some questions for you. Lightning round, and we'll wrap this segment up. First question I have for you is, well, it's not a question or a statement. I want your opinion. Derek Fisher.
Yes.
Former NBA player, Los Angeles Lakers. Mm-hmm. He had the great step back 3-point shooting that when there was 0.6 seconds once in a game, and he scored a 3-pointer to win the game. He is now the head coach of the Los Angeles Sparks, a women's WNBA team.
Yes.
What are your thoughts?
Good for the WNBA. I think it's great to get a high profile ex-player and ex-coach from the NBA into the league. I think things like that generate a bunch of interest. I'd be lying if I said I would watch a Sparks game because of this. I won't. But happy for the WNBA. I guess I'm happy for Derek Fisher. I don't know. I don't know if that's a good or bad thing for him. I mean, he stays in LA. That's where he lives. So good for you, I guess.
Yeah, I wonder how much he makes too. I would
that's
love
a great
to know.
Question. I don't know.
How much does the coach of the LA Sparks makes? Not sure, but I'm sure he's happy and
sure.
He's probably gonna make a lot of money. Derek Fisher, also stat, is he ranks 9th among NBA players in total career playoff 3-point field goals made, with 285 3-pointers in the playoffs.
Does that in any way, shape, or form help the Sparks?
Yeah, he knows how to make threes.
Does that in any way, shape, or form help the Sparks?
No, but it's a great stat. And also, the person in front of him that has made more 3-pointers in the playoffs is J.R. Smith. Shocker.
That actually is a shocker. I would not have guessed J.R.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Yeah.
All right, so I've got a question for you. Damon Green may not be a name that any of our listeners know, but he has been the caddy for the one, the only Zach Johnson for the past 15 years. Most people don't know or care about that fact, and that he and Zach Johnson are splitting. Zach Johnson calling it splits after 15 years. Won 2 majors together, multiple tournaments. Zach Johnson, one of the best players on the tour. My question to you is, Damon Green is well known for his birdie dances after Zach Johnson has a great birdie, where he will flap his arms like a bird, kind of pop up and down. Really, really good. It's good to see an old white guy do that on the golf course. I love celebrations on the golf course. I love seeing that kind of enthusiasm and excitement on the course. You don't see it very much. So I want to know, should there be more celebrations on the course, or are you a golf purist where you want to see a birdie, you move on, tip of the cap, go to the next hole?
No, there should always be celebrations in golf. I think it's a great thing. It's all about timing, though, on the celebration, so you don't want it after every single putt, but I think it'd be good. My first thought was you were going to ask me what is celebration that I would do.
Well,
in a moment like that. And the very first one that I thought of was my go-to in flag football, or really anything in college, was the Sean Merriman lights out celebration.
Okay.
That was very old school, but I feel that is applicable to anything. Mm. Any sporting event. What would be your go-to celebration?
I'm a big fan of the run and jump. You started with the chest bump, but then it's like the turn to the side, like side bump up in the air,
yeah,
midair jump. Jordan Spieth, after he hit the bunker shot to win the tournament with his caddy Michael, that might have been the greatest celebration ever on the golf course. In the Tigers, F yeah. On the 08 U.S. Open.
I do like also the Jordan Spieth had another good celebration, the go get that. Where really, it's not a celebration. Yeah. You just tell the caddy, just go point, get that.
Yeah. Spieth is good. He's good for a strong celebration. There needs to be more out there.
Yeah, I agree. So, Kyle, the USA Gymnastics.
Yeah.
You know about them?
Yeah.
Big follower? They recently just declared...
Wait. I would not say I'm a big follower, but let's preface this.
All right. Your story, not mine. USA Gymnastics recently filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy.
Yeah. First of all, I didn't even know that that was a thing.
I agree.
And that sports could do that. I guess I didn't realize it was an actual, like, entity, legal
who,
entity.
Who owns it? I don't know.
Right. I just, that's...
So, do we all, as taxpayers, just filed for Chapter 11? Like,
yeah.
Who's owning that bill?
I don't know. I guess in... I obviously didn't research to see how this, the corporate structure was set up. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's the least of their problems. Let's maybe start with the sexual assault and work our way down from there. I don't know. I just... Let's maybe just end the program, you know? I don't... You're treating women like garbage. You're filing bankruptcy. Like, what good are you? You're doing nobody any good anywhere in the world. Like, get out of here.
You're doing the Russians good because now they don't have to compete against
the USA gymnasts. Yeah, I guess, but good Lord, the Russians are horrible too. They torture these kids, girls. Is USA Gymnastics also guys too?
Like, I was just thinking about
that. Is that all encompassing? Or is it just the girls? So it's got to be the guys too, right?
Yeah, could be.
I guess that'd be pretty unfortunate if you're on the guys' team. File bankruptcy. You didn't do anything.
Yeah, the guys did win a national, or a gold medal in 1984.
That's a stat I don't care about. Thank you.
Yeah, and I actually met one of the gymnasts that won as part of that USA team.
Are you part of the gymnastics crew?
Don't worry about how
I'm worried, Juan. I'm worried.
No, it was very interesting. There's somebody I work with that his father was actually on that 1984 USA gymnastics teams for men's gymnastics team that won the gold medal.
And did he ride the pommel horse?
He did. He hated the pommel horse, and he actually, that was his biggest fear, the pommel horse, and he just did really bad.
I feel like that would be the easiest.
No, that was his toughest. That's the one that he, where basically he had the yips.
Yeah, I guess you can get the yips in anything, huh?
You would know.
yeah, speaking of yips, let's talk about our favorite Heisman Trophy winner, Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
So, this has nothing to do with the Yips, but Kyler Murray, more than likely, by all accounts, will turn pro next year, playing baseball, not football. So, I want to know, do you believe he is making the right decision by going pro in baseball and going to the Oakland Athletics organization? Rather than attempting a career in the professional football league.
So, I don't know. I was talking with somebody over the weekend of how much money he would actually make as a first rounder. Could he make $20 million guaranteed? I'm not sure. I don't know if the contracts are still laid out that way. I mean, remember Sam Bradford was the number one overall player and made $50 million. Guaranteed, but Kyler Murray is not going to go first overall. He's probably not going to go top 10 with that. So I don't see him making that much money. Baseball, you're not going to get as hurt as more, and all the money is guaranteed. I don't see why not. I think realistically, he could play. I like to see him play both sports. I like him to maybe get drafted in the first round of the NFL. And play baseball at the same time and just kind of play both and see how long that lasts. Get two paychecks and keep it riding. Why not?
I don't think in today's world, in today's NFL world, that's realistic. Baseball, I feel like you could get away with that. But in the NFL, it's a year-round sport now. Lord knows they're not going to let you miss any games or, you know, rookie camp or anything like that. I don't know. I can't imagine that happening. That would be fun. I would love to see it, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think he's going to play baseball, but it'd be pretty cool for him to play both, just to say, hey, there's a really good athlete. I always root for athletes and good people at their respective crafts.
Don't you feel like it would be easier to come back to play baseball, though, at a later age than it would be football?
Kind of like Tim Tebow is playing baseball after never playing in college and only playing in high school.
Yeah,
probably could be easier. And if you make your name, if you're famous enough, they're going to give you a chance in baseball.
That's right. Because
baseball always needs more ratings. Football does not.
Fact.
So, I like that. All right, Kyle. Well, I think that's all the time we had. I did have one more lightning round question for you to let you know that Imagine Dragons has been picked as the halftime show for the College Football National Championship.
That's great.
Yeah, I've never heard of, I think they're trying to get into the Super Bowl now. Like, what is college football doing with announcing halftime shows?
I don't know if I've ever watched a halftime show.
No. National Championship. What's even crazier is it's in Atlanta. Well, is it in Atlanta?
This year? Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's in the Super Bowl's in Atlanta. No, the Super Bowl's in Atlanta. Last year, the college football playoff was in
Atlanta. It's Orange Bowl, right? This year? I think it's the Orange Bowl. Almost positive.
Yeah.
Fairly positive. Kind of confident.
we'll see where that one is at. Either way, Imagine Dragons, not really excited me as a halftime special, but
I'm indifferent. Good for them, I guess. I'm not going to watch, but good for them.
Yeah, good for them. All right, that's all the time we have. Thank you guys for listening. Make sure to follow us on Twitter, JK Sports Podcast, and join our Bowl Pick'em on ESPN Bowl Mania, JK Sports Podcast. Follow us.